Welcome back to episode 39 of the Run It Three Ways podcast. On this week's show, we've got some average looking training weeks, a new world record to discuss, and the best listeners' questions yet, including a relay race with Jakob Ingebrigtsen versus us. Welcome back to the podcast, boys. How are we doing?
All good,
He's
Ben.
totally disregarded.
Just to add to the introduction, I actually did a race as well, but all right, we'll get on to that during my week.
Pretty average performance though, wasn't it?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, do you know what? We spent a decent amount of time last episode talking about appliances, household appliances, didn't we? Well,
indeed.
I've got some dramatic news coming out of the Bradford-on-Avon household. The oven exploded yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
Ooh, gas or electric?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't like smoke and fire, that kind of thing. It was like the glass
Great
door
festival.
Just shattered everywhere.
Oh dear.
Like out of nowhere. Yeah.
What, when it was on? I presume it was on.
It was on, yeah, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like it was maxed out or anything. But anyway,
You're renting, aren't you?
Yeah.
You got onto your landlord about that?
I have indeed. Marge.
What did Marge have to say?
She went, oh my, and she's buying us a new one. So,
oh, happy day.
There we go. Happy day. But yeah,
you should smash something else up, smash TV in.
Someone's kicked the front door in. Have to get a new
one.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah, rip up all your shoes as well. See if you'll replace them for fresh carbon.
Oh dear me. But yeah, that was quite dramatic. I started googling it, and apparently it's a fairly common occurrence.
Were you preheating the oven, or was there some food in there?
No, my lunch was in there. A little bagel with some cheese on it.
Was that affected? Any glass in that, or
do you know what? The explosion was actually outward rather than inward. So
nice.
My bagel was protected, and I consumed it happily.
An explosion nice. Rather than implosion.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
That's good news.
So yeah, there's that.
That's awesome. Very exciting.
No one was injured.
I've got nothing to rival that, I'm afraid. Ben, you got any appliance stories?
No, I don't think so. We've got this hot water button thing in the kitchen that's quite handy for making one cup of tea. You basically, it's like a kettle, but you just press a button and then pretty much instantly hot water comes out of the spout and you've got exactly enough for a
nice.
Cup.
Have you screwed that onto your existing tap then?
No, it's literally like a kettle. You just plug it in, but it's a lot quicker than boiling a kettle, obviously, and better for the environment, I think, because it uses only the energy to heat that water, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
Not,
well, there you go.
Wow. That's the reason why we bought
it. If any listeners have got any cool appliances, or maybe, you know, you've recently purchased a spiralizer for your cucumber or something.
Can't beat a spiralizer.
Let us know what you've got, because I'm always keen to add something to the arsenal of things in the kitchen, as I like to call it. So, yeah, let us know.
So we're just going to start every show with a kitchen appliance update.
Well, no, it can only go so far. Do you know what I mean? Don't go crazy with it.
Well, I think if
I just
we start
it was,
something now,
it
we've got to
relevant.
Keep it going. Yeah. Episode 39, new segment.
No, I don't think so.
We'll
find something else to discuss. What have you been up to today, boys? Anything interesting?
Nothing too special. Did a 5 miler this morning, just an easy run. Got a track session later. Planned a YouTube video, which I'm planning to film after recording the pod. And then, yeah, track this evening. How about you?
Yeah, nothing crazy for me. Running, working, a couple of phone calls. Now I'm recording this. I too have a session tonight, albeit not on the track. And I've got a meeting as well after this. So
no.
I'm just sat at my laptop. Nothing exciting, don't worry.
Oh.
Tom, you?
I went for a run this morning. That was nice.
Lovely. It's bloody warm this morning, isn't it? I don't know about you.
Mate, it's boiling. Yeah. It's boiling. It
so
is absolutely.
Hot.
Yesterday tops off in October for me.
Yeah, that's
wow.
crazy.
22
it was freezing,
degrees.
Yeah?
22 degrees yesterday for my run.
It was 16 joking. This morning and I went out at 9:30. It's like,
yeah.
What's this October? So warm.
I know. Jeepers creepers. That's the only way I can describe that.
At 7:45 this morning, it was like very cold. I almost needed gloves. It was
but
like 10
you,
degrees.
You always do seem
degrees.
To wrap up though, Tom, when it comes to running. I remember this from...
Aren't you vegan as well?
You feel the cold more because it's vegan.
You feel the cold, mate. You ain't got any red meat in you?
No, but it was just... I'm telling you, it was cold this morning.
Maybe
there was a low mist along the canal.
You might be anemic.
Yeah.
It was definitely warm where I was anyway. I came back and I was sweating. I only did five miles. So anyway. Yeah.
Decent. Right, let's jump straight into some training, because I've just scanned the show notes which Ben's kindly put together, and we actually have a million and one things to discuss, and a lot of it is gonna be rabbit holes, I believe, as it is in this podcast. So should we kick off with your training, Ben, and then we'll take it from there?
Well, first of all, I've got your Strava on desktop, Ben. Yeah, no, you know how it's got all of the stats in the world down the right hand side. I found your shoes list down there.
It's pretty ridiculous, isn't it?
And it just keeps going.
Yeah,
it's like three extra pages worth of just.
Why did you only do 2.8 miles in one pair of shoes? Actually, sorry, you've got a pair on there that you only did 0.8 miles in.
Which is it? I'll tell you the story.
Some sort of Nike trail shoe, I think.
Terra Kyger 8. You've done 1.3 kilometers in.
Yeah, that was probably the Frodo X shoe, and then I never touched them again.
you fraud.
Yeah, I'm not a trail runner. Why would I be using them? Zoom Fly 4, that was a good one. 4.5K run, sent them back.
You've done 8K in the Velocity Nitros from Puma.
Oh, yeah, they gave me really bad heel slippage, so I never used them again.
Yeah. Should we go through every single shoe on this list?
Just disregard all of my training.
Monday in Macedonia, go.
Okay, Monday in Macedonia, 6 kilometers of easy run with Marco from the podcast. So this is the day after the half marathon. We did 6 kilometers at 5:49 pace along the river. Lovely little group. I think there was actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us in total, which was really nice. There's only 4 in the photo, but I guarantee you there was another 2 that turned up. And that was a really nice evening run. Then we went out for dinner. Shout out to Marco and his wife. I think I discussed this on last week's pod, but we went out and had some really nice Macedonian food that they paid for. They wouldn't let me and Kush pay for it. And it was one of the nicest evenings, just meeting new people, chatting about running. I think we actually got about 2 hours into the meal before we just talked about running. I was like, that's pretty damn good for four runners sat around the table. So, yeah, lovely way to start the week. 6K, nice and easy. On Tuesday, I did my first session of the week, which I did on the treadmill. First treadmill run of the week. Get ready for this. So it was 8x K, pretty classic session. This was actually really difficult, probably the hardest session of the week, just because my body was still really tired from the half. But it was, 8x K, 1 minute recovery at 3:05 per kilometer pace, which is my 10K pace. Nearly called it after 6, but managed to push on to get them last 2 reps done as well. Didn't really look at my data. Then I looked at the heart rate data at the end, and it was about 5 to 10 beats higher than it usually would be for that effort. So either the treadmill was fast because it was a Macedonian one that I've not used before, or I was just knackered. But it was a good session to get done.
Yeah, let's pretend that's a real dilemma, and let's pretend it could be either one.
Yeah, it could be either.
Yeah. Did you do this in Monsters, Ben?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's potentially maybe what part felt of hardy. The
yeah.
reason.
The reason is because whenever I wear the Metaspeed Metaspeed Sky Plus from Asics for a longer session, I always seem to get really tight calves the next day or the days after. So I just decided to give my legs a rest from carbon fiber and stuck with the Monsters. So maybe that was why it felt a bit harder. But it was a good session. I think all these sessions I did this week, I really was focused on just pushing myself a little bit harder than I usually would. I feel like I've gone a bit soft in my sessions of late and just getting them done rather than getting them done to a decent level of intensity. So I was like, right, let's knuckle down and get these last few sessions building into the Oxford half and done with some good intensity. Then I flew home to the UK. And so this would have been the Wednesday. I did 16 kilometers at steezy pace, so somewhere between my steady and easy run. Usually when I run steezy, it's just because I'm feeling good on an easy run and the pace just naturally comes a little bit quicker. But I always feel like a bit of a fraud calling it an easy run if my heart rate and my exertion is a little bit higher. So yeah, steezy run and stride, 16.85k at 4:08 average. Trying to add strides more into my training a bit more recently, just because I've noticed that my left heel flick is a little bit lower than my right. And I think I've got a little bit of imbalance there. And I think doing strides a little bit more will help just improve my running economy a little bit more. I used to do them all the time, but probably for the last 2-3 months, I've done maybe one or two sets of strides. So just trying to add them at the end of easy runs moving forward a little bit more often. And so that was Wednesday. Thursday, just a steezy five again, 8.03K, 407. And then
a lot of steezy this week, isn't there?
Yeah, I kept the mileage fairly low as we're moving again. Well, as I'm moving again to another race week, decided not to pump the volume up and just keep things pretty constant, more of like a maintenance week rather than trying to rush any fitness. I feel like if I ran like 140, 160K this week, then I probably would have had a lot more fatigue. And going into another half marathon at the end of this week when we're recording, I decided to keep things a little bit sensible. Second session of the week, it was another treadmill session. This was meant to be outside, but I just couldn't find anyone that fancied doing it. So just for ease, jumped on the treadmill. And it was a bit of a fartlek session, a little bit of something different to what I usually would do. But it was 3K at my half marathon pace, 2K at 10K pace, 1K at 5K pace, and then 2K at 10K pace, 1K at 5K pace. So it was a bit of a fartlek, varying intervals of length and different speeds.
But it is an interval session.
Yeah, interval session, but...
But like, I'm not hearing all this fartlek. Yes, it's speed play and technically you're speaking, but a fartlek isn't a fartlek, is it? Otherwise, every session you do would be a fartlek.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I read the comments on this one midweek, and I've been bottling it up. So, right.
To me, this is a fartlek.
At the track tonight, what session are you doing?
I'm doing a broken tempo.
So it's a fartlek then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. So every session you do is a fartlek then.
Well, I think
your long run at the weekend, you did 2x10K.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a rest in the middle where you ran at a different pace. Is that a fartlek?
No, because the intervals don't change in duration.
Okay. So if you do 800, 600, 400, 300, 200, 100, getting progressively faster on the track in the height of summer because you're a 1500 meter runner, is that a fartlek?
Yeah.
No, it's absolutely not a fartlek. It's a bloody lactic up to your eyeballs session, but reps are at a different pace.
With that session,
treadmill session, right? And because you're running out of fucking things to caption treadmill sessions because you're just running on this conveyor belt of rubber, you've called it a fartlek. It's not a fucking
fartlek. It is a fartlek.
It's a very good interval session. It's a very good interval session. Great volume, good rest, but you've done 3K, 2Ks and 1Ks off 90 second rest. It's an interval session.
Right,
if it was rolling through, if the 130 was a float, I get that. Continuous run. This is intervals broken with rest.
Fair enough. My definition is different. If the interval varies in duration and varies in speed, that qualifies as a fartlek for me.
All right. Nice. Good session, though. Go on. The treadmill looks terribly sweaty.
Yeah, I proper wrecked it. Had to get the
What's your definition, Callum? Just once and for all, what's your definition?
Well, I don't have like a sentence off the top of my head. My sentence is right here, mate. Yeah, you probably got it tattooed on your inner thigh, mate. Right.
It's a Swedish word anyway. I learned to run in Sweden. So if anyone's going to know what it means, it's me.
Yeah, that's how it works. Right, go on, continue.
I thought you were going to tell us what your definition of fartlek was.
A fartlek for me is one continuous run with no periods of rest.
Fair enough. Right, on to Friday, 20K easy run, nothing to report, lovely route. On Saturday, I did a park run. Progression started at 4 minutes per kilometre, worked down to around 3:25.
Park run fartlek.
Yeah, no, the speed didn't vary. It was a gradual increase.
But we've also skimmed past on the treadmill. There are a few extra bits here. First of all, the tattoo.
The tattoo, yeah. Is that the first time we've seen it live on Strava? First on Strava, yeah.
Yeah.
Two little sunflowers.
Has Meg got a matching one?
She does indeed, yeah.
Oh, stop it.
I know. It's cringy as fuck, but I love it.
No, it's not. Oi, no, it's not cringy. It's lovely.
It's lovely.
It's a symbol of your love and your commitment to each other.
And the reason why I got it there is so that every time I look at my watch, I can think of Meg.
Oh,
There we go.
Which,
even worse.
By the way, the watch, this watch strap.
I know,
looking a bit
it's
grubby,
disgusting,
Ben.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I asked Chorus if they wouldn't mind sending me a black one, but they sent me a white one. And then I messaged them in our group chat saying, look at the state of this. Any chance I can get a black one? Just ignored me. So might have to dig in my own pocket to get a new watch strap because this is, yeah. It just,
is it a white fabric?
It's nylon. I'll give you a little ASMR.
Oh, right.
Great strap, really, really comfortable. But yeah, white is just never going to work for me, considering if you look at the state of the sweat on the treadmill, imagine that twice a day, 7 days a week. It's just going to get pretty crappy.
And you've also said the Puma Fastar, most underrated carbon shoe.
That's a big claim.
Expand on this.
I just think it doesn't get any credit at all, basically, in the running scene. And I used it for a 10K race, basically ran a PB in it. And every session I do in it, it just feels unbelievably snappy. I think it could be as good as a Vaporfly, as good as like an Adios Pro 3, but just because of it's not, I don't know, the running community hasn't really used it. Like, nobody really knows about it. I feel like it's the most underrated carbon shoe there is. And they've got a new one coming out as well soon, so I'm looking forward to trying that one out.
Yeah, good stuff.
I think it may be because it feels a bit like an Alphafly to me with the different density midsoles. The front is super snappy and the back is really stable, which is a great combination, I think. But yeah, anyway, 20K easy on Friday, Saturday park run, and then Sunday is my third treadmill session of the week. I've had this one on my training plan for the 30-30 project, and I never got around to doing it. So I just wanted to see if I could tick it off. It was one of those sessions where you set it for yourself, and you're not 100% sure if you can even complete it, which I find quite exciting sometimes. I definitely wouldn't have been able to do this out on the road, I don't think, just because it's quite difficult. I would obviously got the session done, but to keep the same paces, I think, would have been pretty difficult. But it was, 2x10K with 5 minutes recovery, just standing recovery, at my target half marathon pace, or what I would like my half marathon pace to be, which is around 309, 310 per kilometre. Got the first 10K done, took on some fuel, was practicing with a new carb drink, which worked unbelievably well. I'm somebody who looks at stats quite a lot after my runs, and my heart rate variability across the whole session was very even, which to me suggests that my fuel in was pretty much spot on. I noticed when I'm starting to feel fatigued, my heart rate seems to spike a little bit, which is usually a sign that your body's moving from glucose to fat burning more. So yeah, it's a good session. Practicing.
Are you allowed to say what carb drink you're using?
It's not. It's a new one from Bix Hydration.
Okay, nice.
It's very similar to a Morton, like 160 or 320 mix, and depending on how concentrated you make it. But yeah, it was one of those sessions where you realise how much of a difference, like having fuel, like fuel makes a difference for the longer efforts. I think I haven't been training for a marathon now for about 4 or 5 months, so I haven't really touched gels or carb drinks or anything like that. But it was a good reminder that they do make quite a big difference moving forward into the next training block. But yeah, good session. Very happy to get that one done.
Sweet. And what you got going, Tom?
No, I was going to say, you teased us in the intro saying that you might get... actually, it was before we started recording, wasn't it? You said we might...
I might get a bit of stick.
Yeah. It's
just the use of the treadmill.
The treadmill.
It's just the treadmill, mate. Yeah. I just find that I can push myself so much harder on a treadmill than I can out on the road. And it's just, I think, just accepting that moving forward for me is, if I want to get a decent session done solo, don't have a road loop for it, I'm just going to get it done on the treadmill.
I get that. I do get that. And I know, like, you set it up for me to, like, slate you for going on a treadmill, but I totally get, like, why you're doing it.
Yeah.
I would just say, like, at this point, you surely have understood how much more difficult it is to run out in the conditions.
Yeah, definitely.
And actually, when you have wind, it's like, this is going to sound way more brutal than I mean it, but it's kind of like, if you're choosing to do all your training on the perfect environment of a treadmill, then you can't complain when there's a headwind and you don't know how to run into it or control your pace or your heart rate. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would just find a balance with yourself of, actually, sometimes it's fine to go, okay, I'm not going to be able to run 309 a kilometer, but if I can run 315 a kilometer, it's not going to be any wild, sexy split where I get to say I've done 231 minute 10Ks or whatever, but I will have learned what it's like to go around corners, to be on uneven surfaces, to maybe go up and down some elevation, to run into a headwind, to have a tailwind. And actually, you've perfected far more what it's like to race in a race situation, because at some points for your 315K, you might be doing 305, and at some points you'll be doing, you know, 320 based on the conditions. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you to manage how you're going to run into it. But I totally get why, from a motivation perspective and for kind of ease and wanting to run at a certain pace, it can be easier to go on the treadmill. So I'm not slagging you off.
Yeah, yeah, no, both very good points.
I just think find a balance, because ultimately everything we do is to train for a race situation, and the treadmill is as far from a race situation as possible, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. One final thing I would add with the treadmill and why I choose to use it is because of just good experiences from the past. So before my half marathon PB last year, when I ran 67:15 in Copenhagen, 2 weeks before that race, we went on holiday to Lanzarote, and I basically trained all my sessions on the treadmill because it was unbelievably windy. And I just got myself in such a high level of fitness and confidence that when I went into the race, like I just felt unbelievable. So I thought, I've got another half marathon in 2 weeks. There's not a huge amount of people to be getting these sessions done with. I know that, again, that's an excuse, and it'd be better if I was out there slogging it on my own. But in terms of just, yeah, motivating myself, I find it so much easier on a treadmill, and the quality and the effort I put into my sessions seem to be higher. So I almost feel like I'm getting more from my training just by going on the treadmill, if that makes sense.
Yeah, quality, I get. I wouldn't say effort higher, because the effort is just up to you of how you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, that's like a crucial skill to learn, of like when you look at your watch and it's 3:16 and you need to be running 3:15s, that's like something you're going to have to change running outside to try and run a second faster.
Yeah.
Whereas once you set that treadmill, it's just set and forget, that's it. All you got to do is not touch any buttons. And don't get off,
get
and you're guaranteed to complete the rep. Yeah. But yeah, no, good training week. Nice to see you do some slightly lower volume, but get some good quality in. I think it'll pay off for you. It's good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to for this next week. I'm feeling fit and also fresh, which is a great combination.
Yeah, so are you two both at this race? Is this some sort of Pro Direct sponsored thing? What's the situation with this Oxford half? I didn't even know there was a half in Oxford.
Yeah, so Oxford's half is being picked up by Hoka, and they're essentially, you know, with Hackney half, where Hoka had a strong presence there, they're basically doing the same thing with Oxford. So they'll have like a stand there, they'll have some product on display. I think there'll be opportunity to win some pretty decent prizes and stuff. But as a result, they asked us, being ProDirect, if we know anybody who would want to do it and race it for Hoka and maybe make a bit of content and stuff. And so naturally Ben Felton was the first point of call, and so here we are,
late notice. Yeah, I think 3 weeks notice. Why not, no problem. It was sort of a weird like transition period in my training, where I'm just about to go up to Kenya, go up to altitude, start training at a high volume, and I've got like 3 weeks of not doing very much. So I've just chucked in like Skopje half marathon and now Oxford half. Not really traditionally like trained for them in terms of like the blocks and all that. I'm just going there and seeing what I can do on the day, so it should be good fun.
What's the prize money saying for this? It just says there is prize money, but it doesn't specify.
Yeah, I don't really know.
It's a good question. It's a very good question. I actually don't know.
I'm planning on winning it, so we'll see.
Interesting. Yeah, I can see Johnny Cornish has been on here the last 2 years, so hopefully he's doing it again, because that'd be a good race for you.
Yeah.
Get around to a fast time.
Yeah, I reckon I'm going to go for around 67, 68 minutes, I think. So see what level of competition there is.
Sounds good. And Tom, you're just there, what, taking photos and that?
Well, I'm actually not going to be there, unfortunately. So Ben's going to be there with a couple other ProDirect staff members who are very lovely, and you'll like them very much, Ben.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Class. On that note, Tom, do you want to do your week?
Yeah. All right. So it was a bit doom and gloom last week, wasn't it? With, you know, in sense of my mental state with running, as it was. Wasn't really enjoying it. Wasn't really putting the sort of effort in that I could have been putting in to the recovery and doing all of the small things, I suppose. And I promised that this episode, it would be more upbeat. And I'm happy to report that it is. I sort of quite like running again this week, so that's good. But in terms of actual running, I only did 3 runs last week. I ran 5 miles on Tuesday, just nice and easy. And then I went to the gym on Wednesday and went a bit too, not too heavy, but went heavy enough that I was quite sore. And then I did another 5 miles on Friday. And then I had a very enjoyable long run with Chris on Sunday morning, which was 15.5 kilometers. So
big one. Longest run post.
Longest run. It didn't get off to a great start. Chris forgot his watch, and then it was like, it's fine, I've got mine. Started mine, realised I'd forgotten to charge it, so it died after 10 minutes. But luckily, Chris had started recording on his phone on Strava, so this run did actually exist.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah.
It's not so on Strava, it didn't count.
Precisely. That is what I was worried about. I was thinking, I'm having such a nice run. This is the first time since coming back from the injury that I've genuinely really enjoyed running. We were chatting away, like effort felt easy. And I thought, but this run will never exist if it's not being recorded and we don't have data to prove that it happened. So luckily, Chris managed to have a little backup on the go. So I don't know how accurate these splits are because he wasn't stopping it for like traffic lights or any of that stuff. But it was good. It was nice to do this loop again. It's probably my favourite loop. Bloody beautiful views up there. And it was a really nice morning as well. So I think maybe turned a little bit of a corner, which sounds probably a bit premature to say after just one run that felt all right. But I ran this morning, as I mentioned in the intro, and that felt good too. Just felt like a normal, easy run. So I think one thing that I've learned and taken away from this whole experience is that I'm very much a morning runner. Whereas a lot of these runs, because they're only like 45 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, I don't have to get up and go to wake up in the morning and get it done because I don't need to. So I'll just do it on like a lunch break where it's quite warm. You're a bit tired just from sitting at your desk the whole morning and just feel quite sluggish and lethargic. Whereas first thing in the morning, I don't think morning runs I've done have felt infinitely better than the lunchtime or after work runs. So yeah, that's biggest takeaway from last week that I'm bringing into this week. Just bloody get up and get out the door and get the run done early.
What's the plan for this week then? Is it going to get any longer than that, or are you just hoping to replicate last week?
Yeah, so I spoke to Rose just over Instagram, and I've got a call with her tonight actually, because she was saying like you're long enough post fracture now to start up in the ante. I can do a little session this week, so that would be nice. I might do a fartlek, guys. I might do a proper fartlek, like a 10 by minute on minute
moose
fartlek slash float. Oh, I don't know about that. I'm just going to keep it very no thrills, very non fancy. So I think 10 by minute is enough that you can run a little bit quick and pretend that you're fit, but you're not going to flog yourself in a 1 minute rep to the point where you're not going to recover afterwards. So that's probably what I'm going to do on Thursday.
If you want to add a little Kenyan twist to it, they do 13 by a minute, a session I did over there.
Right.
And I thought, what? 13. That is the weirdest number of reps to do. But anyway,
should I do it on a really rocky road as well?
Yeah, definitely. Really rocky road and just absolutely floor it.
Well, 13 makes sense because for their aspirations, that's the total duration of 5K running. So if they're doing it at 5K pace-ish, then that would, you know what I mean? That would make sense.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Do you get me? 13 flat.
Yeah.
Who knows? I might just be joining the dots there that don't exist.
Well, with my current fitness then, I should probably be doing like 24 by
40,
a minute.
45 times a minute.
But no, it's... it was good to chat to Rose and just get a bit of a sense check on it all, really. It's no secret I was getting very bored of just doing the same thing without really knowing when I was allowed to progress things. But yeah, it's nice to get clearance to do a little session this week, which I will do.
Yeah. Shout out to Rose. Shout out to Rose, by the way. I meant to mention this last podcast, but a guy that I coach, who I won't name just in case he didn't want to be named, but reached out to Rose for a little bit of help with some things, and he sent over the S&C that she'd advised on, and it looks extremely thorough and very detailed, etc. So shout out to Rose.
Yeah, if you're a relatively new listener, Rose has been helping me come back from this sacral stress fracture for the last while now, like 3 months, 4 months maybe. And she set up her own practice, not specifically to help runners, but she is a runner herself. So I suppose there's a bit more that way inclined. And if you've got any little injuries, niggles, things you're a bit concerned about, then podiumphysiotherapy.co.uk is her practice. And
not
she's
just,
been very,
not
very
just
good for me.
Not just anything you're concerned about. It has to be injury related. Not like,
yeah, ideally.
Not like the climate crisis and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ideally injury related. But I'm sure she'd have good things to say about the climate crisis too, knowing Rose. But yeah, shout out to her for helping so much throughout this process and being so like receptive to feedback as well, which I think is the most important thing. It's not like her way or the highway. If I say, oh, this exercise in the gym don't feel like it's doing that much, or I'm not feeling like I'm doing it right, she's always happy to switch it up. So yeah, it's been good, and I'm feeling a lot more positive, I think, about running and the whole getting back to some kind of fitness in the not too distant future. And the gym has been quite enjoyable recently too, actually. It's just squats hurt my shoulders and my back more than they hurt my legs, apparently, which isn't ideal.
Because of your form or because the bar hurts your neck?
No, the bar, like, yeah, the literal bar on my
that is, I found that when I first started. Yeah, but do you do any upper body? Because I just found when I filled out a little bit, and obviously I'm not exactly...
Works on your shoulders.
You know what I mean?
But
like
shoulders, yeah.
Just going from having no muscle to a little bit of muscle actually made all the difference with the little bit of padding that you kind of have where you put the bar. But yeah, I think that's normal when you first start, because by... I almost felt like I'd bruised my back from the bar.
You can use dumbbells or kettlebells though, if you wanted. Just put them in your hands.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Not for the back squat though. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can use the safety thing though, with the little foam thing.
Yeah, I was thinking of that, but I didn't want to get looked
down
on.
That's a true run.
Big scary.
No, you've got to accept that you're a runner, mate. You've got to protect that back.
Yeah.
You're hoping there to get massive.
But it's good to see progress on squats, because at first I was absolutely terrified of going into the gym and using the squat rack, whereas now it just feels quite normal, and I'm squatting body weight quite comfortably, which felt impossible at the start. So it's nice to see a little bit of progress in that way, and I feel it on the runs, to be honest. Like, obviously a bit domsy and stuff after the gym, but generally, like, legs themselves feel really strong after running. Like this run again on Sunday, I went to a kid's another birthday party, a 5-year-old's birthday party, which was absolute carnage.
Oh, that's nice. How do you know the 5-year-old? Just working that.
Yeah, just through work.
Just working that, yeah.
Well, it's actually one of Summer's new friends from school.
Ah, okay. Cool. That's a crucial detail, that is.
Yeah, I should have clarified, shouldn't I? But yeah, that involved a lot of walking, a lot of time on feet, and didn't really, wasn't like sore or achy or anything after the run. So legs are in good nick, touch wood. It's just the rest of me that needs to catch up a little bit.
Good work, lad.
Yeah, nice one.
Solid week. Shall I jump into mine?
Let's do it.
It'll be a nice and quick week, because this culminated in a race. So Monday, I was still in Latvia, just did 6.6 miles at 7:23s with Scott. We just had time to get one run in before we had to fly later in the day. So just a nice, easy shakeout there. Tuesday, we flew back late to East Midlands Airport. So rather than come back really late at night, I just stayed over in a hotel at East Mids and came back the next day. So when I got up to do a run, for some reason my GPS, I don't know if it was because I was near the airport or what, just wouldn't connect at all. And you know when you've been standing there for like 10 minutes and you just think, sod it, I'll just do the run. I just ran around, and then on my app worked out how far this loop was that I'd done, and it was pretty much exactly 5k, which was perfect. So that was a little jog in the morning. And then I got back to Cambridge and had a session. Oh, no, I didn't have a session in the afternoon. I went to the group session, but I just did 8 miles at 7:30, just an hour of running. Gave myself an extra day before I did a session just because of all the travel, the race being on a Sunday, all that sort of stuff. So it was nice and easy. Wednesdays when I had my session, so super simple session, had a bit of a longer warm up, and then I just had 12 times 1 minute at about 4:40s. So the guide was kind of like 10k ish effort in terms of like the feeling, like not really worrying about pace. And then 1 minute just completely easy jog, kind of like 6:45 a mile, something like that. So yeah, super simple. The idea being just turn the legs over a little bit, get in a little bit of quality before the weekend's race and kind of perk the legs up and try and flush out the race from a few days prior. Like not trying to gain anything at all from this session, more just maintenance, not letting the body go to sleep. Yeah, super simple.
You've made me think of a good segment there by the excessive usage of super simple to describe your session. Can we have a little segment on the podcast for Callum's super simple sessions?
Super simple.
I think it would be nice. Callum's super simple sessions.
What do you want me to give you a session?
Yeah, just you know, we'll have a little segment of the podcast where you just, you know, you give a nice little bread and butter session that the valued listeners at home can try out for themselves and why they would do it, what they would do it for. You know, just a little insight from the world silver medalist.
All right, sounds good. Maybe we can start that next week.
Nice.
If you want one this week, do that 12 times a minute or 13 if you want to be Kenyan. So I did my cool down. Thursday, I just had 7 miles easy. I had a bit of a cold actually that kicked in kind of on Wednesday, Thursday. Nothing serious at all, just a bit of a sore throat, blocked nose. But was conscious that I had the race at the weekend, so I was taking extreme measures with the old Lemsips, Sudafed nasal spray, steaming my face 3 times a day, trying to clear out the old lungs. So that was Thursday. Friday, I had my pre-race, so normal stuff, 4 miles plus some strides, nothing crazy at all. And then Saturday was the race, which was such a good event. If you've never done the National Six Stage, then you definitely should join the club and try and do it. At least do the sort of regional one if you don't qualify for nationals, because it's such a good atmosphere to do a road race where you're part of a team event. It's really unique. Shout out to someone who, I can't remember your name, so apologies, who messaged me the other day saying that they'd listened to the podcast and heard our advice about joining a running club, and they just went to their first club session last week. So big up whoever that was, and I hope that you enjoy the club. So this Saturday, I just had shakeout in the morning, normal warm-up, and then I had my lap, which was leg 5 of 6 at the National Road Relays. It's about 5.88 kilometers. I don't know if that is exactly 3.63 miles, but that's
5.85 here on Strava. Pretty accurate.
5.88 is what they put in the program, I think. So yeah, who knows exactly what it is, to be honest. Really undulating loop. The first mile is pretty much all uphill. You kind of just run it as a progression throughout pretty much. So yeah, ran 17:01 as my official time. Last year, I think I was 17:07. So 6 second improvement, which is lovely stuff to say. I've been focusing more on the kind of mile and a little bit earlier in the winter. And a great result for the team. We finished third. I got it in fourth, I think I got it in fourth, took us to second, and then we ended up third. So yeah, we were up there for the whole time pretty much, which was great. And Leeds won, Aldershot second, and Cambridge third. So yeah, really, really good race. Great atmosphere. Only 16 seconds between first and third. So it was an exciting race throughout. And I was really pleased with my leg because I wasn't entirely sure how I would cope with a slightly longer distance. I know this isn't a long distance, but it's the furthest I'd raced since February because everything I've done in between has been middle distance stuff. So to get a good solid 5K, hilly 5K out at 4:40s, fifth leg of the day, only beaten by some very good people, was pretty good result. So that was Saturday. And then
hang on again, give us a bit more context on the road relays for people who may not be initiated in exactly what they are, similar to what you did last week.
Okay, road relays, any team in England can enter. You start off by either doing the Northerns, Midlands or Southerns, depending on the location of your club. You'll go to the given location, you'll choose your best team of 6 runners for men and 4 for women. and then you'll run, each of you will do a lap of the course, one at a time from leg one to six in a relay race. You know how relays work. And the first team to complete all six legs will win. At the Northern, Southerns and Midlands, the top 25 teams at each qualify to go through to the Nationals, where you'll have whatever that is, 75 teams or give or take, because you have some B teams as well. And then you do the exact same thing over again at Sutton Coldfield, Sutton Park, which is like a very historic course. It's been there for years and years and years. And basically, teams take it pretty seriously. You had Stewie McSwain running for Belgrave this year. The likes of Phil Sesserman, Emil Kerr has often run, Jack Rowe in previous years. So yeah, a lot of professional runners, quite a prestigious event. And it's a really good race, because if it was a pancake flat 5K course, you'd easily be able to work out which team was going to win. But because of the elevation and how people are going to perform and on the day, and you know, some people are chasing, which is a bit easier than running by yourself, and all those sort of different variables, it's a very exciting race. So yeah, that was the National Road Relays. And if you think, oh, that sounds interesting, wouldn't it be great if I could watch a video on that and how the teams prepare and what it means to them? Well, coming soon in a couple of weeks, so keep an eye out on my YouTube channel for that one.
Well, that'll be good. I didn't know you made a video from that, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we filmed it over like 3 weeks. So we filmed some Cambridge and Coleridge sessions. We kind of done interviews in a bit of like a Drive to Survive style with different people that have been in the club, some of the coaches that have been around for like 30, 40 years in the sport, that sort of stuff. And then we filmed on the day as well. So we'll hopefully make it, reflect how exciting it actually was on the day. Mm. A true game of cat and mouse, you could describe it as.
And that's you and 1609 Charlie again.
Yeah. That's Charles McCarthy. So you can expect a high level of production on that one, as always.
Great
with
stuff.
Charlie. And then Sunday I had 14 miles. I did this by myself, 14 miles at 6:44s. So that was an hour and 34th running. Again, very little to report on this one, apart from that I did a route I'd not done before, which was essentially compromised of three smaller routes that I sometimes do. And that totaled me up to 62.6 miles for the week, which, considering I was just maintaining and then had another race to prepare for, was pretty good. So my miles have been pretty consistent over the last kind of 7 or 8 weeks. I've got my two or three big races out of the way, which was the British Mile Championships, the World Mile Championships, and then the relay. So now I've kind of got a month until my next race, where I can get some proper training in, up the volume a little bit, lower the intensity of the sessions in terms of like the fast paces and not having to worry about mile pace and things like that, and do some longer work, and hopefully in a month's time, or you know, 8 weeks time, be fit enough to do well at the Euro Cross Trials. Well, that's the plan. So yeah, I think that's everything from my week, boys.
Interesting. And one thing I've just noticed here, I'm on Strava, and you know, it does that side-by-side comparison. Between me and you, we've averaged over the last 4 weeks 109.3 for yourself, 109.7 for me, and exactly the same amount of time ran. 7 hours 41 for yourself, 7 hours 40 for me.
109 kilometers. What's that in miles?
60 to 70.
Yeah. Interesting. Nice. That, isn't it? Basically identical.
Solid.
Yeah. Anyway.
What about mine? Has it got mine on there?
Doesn't have you on here, mate. You have to have a look on yours.
Might
I think
a bit
average 25k per week, I did see earlier.
To get yours, you have to ring Strava and on FaceTime, and he just holds his fingers up with how many miles you've done.
Should we jump into some news?
There's loads of news, right? So can I give my opinion on how we do this news? Not to enforce too much. I reckon we like only talk about the stuff that we're acutely interested in, which I can happily sit here and I want to listen to you two talk about this Alpha Fire 3 job. I'd enjoy that. I don't think the relays are that exciting to talk about, and I think this Kiptum and all the questions that have been written in about him could also be a juicy topic as well. Let me know.
Where would you like us to start then?
Juicy topic.
Hey, it's on you, boys. It's on you. I'm just giving the skeleton.
The big news in the running week, and probably the name of the title of this episode, will be a new world record in the marathon. So it's probably best to start with Mr. Kelvin Kiptum. What do you reckon?
Yeah, what a boy.
What did you make of that, lads?
So he's run 3 marathons ever in his life, 23 years old. of the six fastest marathons of all time, including now the world record, 2 hours and 35 seconds. That's, yeah, it's almost unbelievable, isn't it, that?
It is almost unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that he has like shown progression through progression and consistency over the last few years, that to me is a good sign when it comes to being like, he's not on drugs at the moment. Because that's the biggest question that I've had from people is Kelvin Kiptum, I think one question from Neil, is Kelvin Kiptum juiced to the gills, were his words. And I would argue that if you've run three world-class marathons in the last few years, you're 100% going to go through the drugs testing protocols. And so, I don't know. What's your take?
But listen, right? I would absolutely love to sit here and believe that all of the top dogs, whose names I won't name in case this podcast suddenly explodes into popularity and we all get sued for money, which we don't have. But I would love to believe that all of the top dogs of sport in general, not just running, are 100% squeaky clean, don't know what a drug is, right? Yeah. But I struggle to believe that. When you see the epidemic of doping in all sport, really, but obviously, what was it? Were we up to like 61 Kenyans or
yeah,
something? Just
it
this
is
year
really bad in Kenya.
That is an alarming amount of people. And when you talk about passing tests and this, that, and the other, the amount of sports where athletes will pass tests and then it comes out afterwards that actually they had, a finding that was higher than the legal limit or whatever, and it was covered up for some such reason. Like it happens in boxing, it happens in MMA a lot. Like you look at the Lance Armstrong situation and how long he was at the top for whilst denying it adamantly. It took people to roll on him and a whole team to go after him to get him busted, you know. And then it turns out pretty much all of the top riders on the tour whilst he was racing were using performance-enhancing drugs. Now, I don't necessarily believe that every single person who's come top 10 in a major marathon in the last 20 years is on performance-enhancing drugs, but it also wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, Callum, what are your thoughts on,
I don't know. The
on
first,
our boy Kelvin?
The first thing is like, to be a fan of athletics, I think you have to have some degree of like faith in the sport. And me as an athlete, when I'm racing people, you can't get into the mindset that people are just on drugs, because then you give yourself an excuse to not want to challenge them, because you almost go, oh, well, I'm doing my best because I'm clean. So yeah, don't worry about the fact that I've been beaten by these five guys, because I'm sure they're just cheating. Haha, like that's fine. So I think you do have to have some faith and believe that it's true. Mm. And also I think we're very aware of technology advancements in terms of, you know, we're all thereabouts evolved in the industry to the sense where we're not idiots. Morton are definitely working on some insane new carb or bicarb or some sort of thing that is not on the market yet that people, I'm sure, are testing. And, you know, I'm sure that the shoes that they wear are not just the Alpha Fly 3. I'm sure they're very custom made to the perfect dimension, perfect insoles, you know, exactly what's going to help you the most shoes. Like, there's all these other things that I'm sure do make a massive difference. Mm. And coupled with that, like in every sport over the years, there has been generational talents that have come around and are just so much better than everyone else. Like you think about like Lionel Messi in football or whatever, he was just so much better than every single player. He wasn't cheating or anything. He was just born and for whatever reason was just like insane. So I think Kiptum, in the same way with Kipchoge or I can't remember the woman's name that broke the marathon world record apologies.
Asefa.
But so they might just be all of these things together. Amazing talent, harnessed in the right way, given all this technology and platform, given a big race, outstanding athletes, get a world record. Like, why not? They could be. And I'm not saying that that's not the case. And I hopefully that is the case, because that's awesome to see. And it inspires a lot of people. Like Chicago, I don't think had any hype made about it. And now everyone's talking about Chicago. And I'm sure a lot of British runners will want to go and do Chicago now when they hadn't. It was probably the bottom of their list in terms of the major marathons. With Kiptum in particular, it's a weird one because he has got a good history of results. Like even before the marathons, I saw he did Eldoret half marathon when he was like 19 and he ran it in like 62 minutes or something. And that's at like ridiculous altitude.
2000 meters.
So stuff like that is like, okay, that's amazing. the age thing is a bit crazy in terms of, like, it doesn't fit with the norm, does it, to be that young and be that good at marathons? Mm. But again, you know, I mean this as politely as possible. He could be a little bit older biologically than maybe he is officially. Everyone knows that that's a thing that happens in Kenya. I don't think that's controversial to say. It's kind of well documented that that kind of can be an issue. The only thing that makes me feel weird about Kiptum is, remember when we talked about what he did with that Chinese brand that he signed with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before London, this Chinese company allegedly offered him like $100K and he's to sign with them. And he just like stops, he like signed the document and then just like stopped replying to them or whatever. And then rocks up at London in a night kit. It's like, to me, that suggests he is a bit of a loose cannon and or has management that is a bit happy to bend the rules. Maybe isn't the most ethical. Maybe they're not people of their word. Like, I don't know. That's the only thing that makes me think, okay, maybe it could be a bit dodgy. And he clearly cares a lot about finances and stuff like that. Because if it is true what happened with that brand, then you've kind of said one thing and acted in another way. It's a bit sly. It's a little bit unethical, which are two characteristics that would go with also blood doping. So who knows if it's true or not. But great to see. And, you know, I'm all for them, like, getting the amazing results. I just really hope that the sport in like 5 years isn't found out that everyone was doing this really advanced form of doping that couldn't be detected, and then the sport's just like, all our memory of being in our 20s and watching all this amazing running will just be up the shitter, which would be a shame. So I really hope that it doesn't come out and soon.
Yeah, totally.
But
agree.
He's still, regardless of if, you know, they're all on drugs or they're all clean or some are and some aren't, he still had to run the marathon in 2 hours and 35 seconds, isn't he? That's the main point. He's still all of the things that you just mentioned, a generational talent and all the rest of it. So I think regardless of what happens in the next 5 years, it's still a historic standout moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just whether it gets slightly tarnished. But yeah, I didn't really watch any of this race because, as I mentioned, I was at a birthday party. And if I started watching Chicago Marathon on the side, I think I would have got in a bit of trouble with the parents, and I didn't want to do that. So I saw, Ben, you were watching it on a lovely day out at the beach with Meg.
Yeah, I watched pretty much the whole last race.
Did you watch things unfold and whatnot? Were you able to see
when
you actually threw the hammer down?
Yeah, so I think he was with a training partner until 30K. And then the way this guy just closes out marathons is just unbelievable. He just picks up the pace, starts what it looks like is a sprint for the line, but he's still got 15 kilometers to go and he just maintains it. He gets quicker and quicker and quicker. Like, nobody can run marathons like that. Like, everybody fatigues and slows down. Even Kipchoge, like, goes from running 250s to 254s or whatever. He slows down. But Kelvin Kiptum almost runs at what seems to be a comfortable pace, which is around 254 for him. And then the last 15 kilometers, he can just absolutely hammer it. And I saw in an interview, he said he doesn't even, some random thing, he said he doesn't even feel pain. Like,
yeah, that's some bullshit though. That's kind of like Jakob saying, like, don't lay down when you cross the finish line.
I feel like it could be. But what about if there's like this, like, genetic mutation that means that his body just doesn't feel like pain?
Oh my God, that is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever
heard. No, wait, hear me out, that exists.
What? Oh yeah, so Kelvin Kiptum's Spider-Man, is he?
Yeah. It's a conspiracy theory.
Kelvin Kiptum doesn't feel pain.
Or I'm not saying he doesn't feel pain, but maybe there's like levels of athlete and in terms of like...
That's just having a higher lactate threshold, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so, like... yeah. He never hit lactate threshold. But that's crazy.
There is a condition.
But if you punch him in the face, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Congenital insensitivity to pain and anhidrosis, CIPA, is a very rare and extremely dangerous condition. Basically, these people cannot feel pain. Pain-sensing nerves in the patients are not properly connected in parts of the brain that receive the pain messages. So, Ben, your claim isn't that outlandish.
But they
I don't
would
know
publish
whether that
it. Re- what an amazing thing that they would publish from a marketing
point of view. I
don't believe
it for a second, but I'm just saying, like, that was a crazy quote to hear.
Yeah, from a marketing point of view and from a striking the fear of God into your opponents, why would they not publish that we've got a runner who does not feel pain?
There we go. If Kelvin's PR want to get in touch with me, then I would claim that he is a marathon runner that cannot feel pain.
You know, what will be interesting though, and I don't, again, maybe some of our listeners might have a better idea of this or can link us some sources. I'd like to know if just because the African runners are at the very top, I don't know if we look at it disproportionately, but I wonder whether East African nations have improved at a much faster rate than other countries. Mm. If you just do you see what I mean? Because obviously they're getting the world records and stuff, but I mean, we know there's a systemic like doping problem in Kenya. Like World Athletics have come out and said that that's an issue and they, you know, are being investigated and all this stuff. But a very cynical part of me can't help but think, and again, I'm an optimistic guy and I've got faith in humans, but if you're some sort of WADA official who works in East Africa or that's where you're assigned to, and you're only paid $50,000 a year, $60,000 a year as your salary, and someone comes along and all you've got to do is give them a heads up to a certain agent as to when their athlete's going to be tested a few weeks or months in advance, so they've got enough time to go and mask it and do whatever they need to do on the scientific point of view, and you're going to end up, you know, doubling your yearly salary or getting a nice little backhander. You would imagine, I'm not saying that everyone's doing that, you would imagine there would be one bad egg out of the hundreds of WADA employees that might be willing to take that sort of thing. And if that bad egg happens to be the one that's working with Kelvin Kiptum, that would align perfectly, wouldn't it? That being said, that is the biggest load of conspiracy theory and kind of like...
I like it. Callum's conspiracies. Another
segment. But it's like such a conspiracy theory, but no evidence at all. And that stuff could be happening in GB. It could be happening in Norway. It could be happening anywhere. Mm. I'm just saying, like, if there's a... Again, I don't know if there is evidence for it, but if there's evidence to say that certain countries are improving at like a ridiculous rate compared to others, you would think that there's got to be something going on there, right? Because these days, training methods and all that are so well advertised everywhere that it can't just be training, can it? You know, that I don't believe it can just be that people are doing a certain type of training that makes them good. But who knows? Let us know. I feel like that could be a whole podcast in itself, really, couldn't it? And people that know way more about running than us and the history of these athletes, I'm sure will have a different opinion.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say, it'd be really interesting to get someone on who actually knows how doping in sport works at the very, you know, base level, because we can talk nonsense about it all day long, but I don't actually know how someone would go about passing a test. I know lots of people do it in sport and get away with it for a period of time, but I've got no idea how it actually happens. So
that would be sick.
Yeah, any experts out there want to jump on the podcast, you're more than welcome to. But yeah, there were other results in Chicago, weren't there, that we should probably talk about?
There was, yeah. I wrote some notable performances down from my point of view in terms of the ones I was interested in. So probably the biggest standout from the Americans was Molly Seidel ran 2:23, which was like her first marathon back in a long time. She's had a lot of injuries, and to see her running so well was pretty cool. But it wasn't just Molly who had a great run. It was Rose Harvey and Sarah Vaughan, both sponsored by Puma. And they also ran 2:23. I think Rose improved her marathon PB by 4 minutes and Sarah by 3 minutes, which both really experienced marathon runners, and they've just taken massive chunks off their time. So it must have been a great day of racing for people out there in Chicago.
Yeah, Rose Harvey's really interesting, if people don't know her. She was a full-time lawyer until not too many years ago, or maybe even last year,
The
year before, when she signed and just decided to become a professional runner. And I don't mean this in a rude way, but isn't the youngest of athletes to be like kind of just breaking through, like above 30. So
she's fifth fastest Brit of all time now over the marathon distance, which is incredible run. And then I also noted, from more of an American standpoint, really, Connor Mance and Clayton Young both ran 2:07, 2:08, which got them the Olympic qualifying standard, which they were going for, which was great to see. And Galen Rupp was also amongst the big hitters on the day as well. He was just slightly behind them, ran 2:08:43. So he didn't quite get the Olympic qualifying standard, but that's by far the best run we've seen from him in probably 10 years, maybe. I thought maybe at least 5 years. So it's good to see him back.
Yeah. And obviously Safwan Hassan won the women's race.
Yeah. Which
2:13
is incredible again.
Nuts. Yeah.
6 weeks after the world's triple. Which is just unreal. She doesn't even need to train for marathons and she can win world majors. So imagine what she could do if she put in like a traditional, like, I don't know, 16-week block. be really interesting to see.
Again, that's another question of like, that's just seemingly goes against all the, you know,
it shouldn't be possible.
It shouldn't be possible. And that's why it's amazing. And I hope these are the types of stories that brands need to be going, let's tell that, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm Nike, and again, I'm just riffing here, but if I'm Nike and I've got ultimate faith in this athlete and I'm sure she's squeaky clean and everything's fine, are you not looking at that and going, this is possibly not just one of the greatest runners of all time, possibly one of the greatest ever athletes.
Yeah.
She's got European record from 1500 meters all the way up to marathon.
It's ridiculous. It's just unheard of.
Maybe recency bias, but like I can't think of athletes in many other sports that are doing that sort of crazy stuff. The best European from 1500 meters all the way to marathon. Why are we not watching a 1-hour documentary on Netflix about Hassan and the amazing things she gets up to and what she does? Maybe it's secrecy, because she looks like she's got an awesome personality from her interview.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, her interviews beforehand, she was saying like she actually did long runs for this one. She did a proper marathon build.
She's so charismatic and stuff. Yeah. So again, that maybe I've got too much belief in track and field, and actually these production companies just recognize there's no audience, it's not going to make any money, or they're super secretive and it's something they want to do once her career's ended because they don't want to give her training methods out, or they're a bit like, oh, probably shouldn't plaster this everywhere in case anything ever comes out in the next few years. And it could be any of those options, honestly. I'm not saying which one it is, but yeah, it's just a shame because I think that is just a nuts story from as a sports fan, and I want to see like what she gets up to and how she manages it. I bet it's crazy.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think she does get a lot of publicity though, but definitely could be a lot more.
But not
about
in the mainstream.
No, maybe not.
Like, ask any average punter if they know who's Hassan is.
Yeah.
They'll be like, eh?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, they won't have a clue.
And also, they only get, again, another problem with it specifically is it's only ever publicity around races. You know,
yeah.
So like, if she decides to not do the track next year, and she, let's say she did just focus on one marathon, I bet we wouldn't hear about her until a week before the marathon, when it's Hassan comes out and says she wants to get the world record, and then we'd hear a bit of hype the day of the race and the week after. But you wouldn't hear anything all year round. We only hear stuff about her because she races about 25 times a year.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Not 25, but you get me.
Yeah. So what you're basically saying is that big brands that sponsor athletes like Sifan Hassan need to do more at promoting their athletes' stories and what they do in their training, like how they become the greats that we see running these incredible times.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously you've got to look at it from a business point of view. I'm not saying that everyone should have that, but if it's literally like one of the greatest sports achievements of all time, this 2023 year cannot be reproduced, will probably never be reproduced by anyone. Mm. You've won your first marathon, you've done three events at a world championships, and then you've won your second marathon. That's absolutely
it is unreal,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
And why these brands that have got millions and millions and millions didn't think to put a camera crew on her for that, I don't know. But, you know, there must be obvious reasons that I don't understand, slash monetary reasons that I don't understand. But I'm just saying it from a passive observer's point of view.
Yeah. Get a camera.
But again, it's back to that point you made, Callum, about like the reasons why they're keeping it hush. Because obviously, Adidas, I don't know if you saw, they released like that Ronex Capruto singlet, which is still online actually, at quite a nice discount, £48 instead of £60. And then obviously Capruto gets busted and suspended and everything. Mm. So yeah, it is a tricky one, isn't it?
Mm.
But anyway, let's move on, shall we?
Definitely. Should we talk about this shoe, boys, and then do us a couple of listener questions?
Yeah, there's not too much to talk about, really. We just know that it was the release date has finally been confirmed to be January in 2024, right?
Yeah, and that's of the Alpha Flight 3, which anybody who's
appears to be on Kiptum's foot.
Yeah, anybody who's into their shoes and stuff, you'll have seen that Hassan wore a prototype of it in London back in April, and it's been tested in Kenya extensively since long before that. So it's, yeah, I always find it a bit weird when you finally see a shoe when you've already seen it so many times all over the internet. But yeah, it's nice to see Nike officially unveil the fact that it exists and acknowledge its existence. And January isn't that far away, really, is it?
No, but those who are running Valencia won't be able to use it unless they're pro pro level athlete.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so that's a shame, maybe, but it was meant to be earlier, yeah. Wasn't it? I think it's been delayed.
Yeah, information on it is still quite sparse as well in terms of updates and that kind of thing. It'll be lighter, but that's about all I know, to be honest. And obviously, it's going to be released in the proto colorway first, similar to Vaporfly 3 and Alphafly 2 and Streakfly. And yeah, that kind of whole trend that Nike are doing with recent releases. So
do you think it's going to live up to the hype, boys? Or do you think it's going to be one of those flops that people say, oh, it's not for me?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because in Chicago, both Conor Mantz and Galen Rupp, the Nike actually posted it on their socials, just calling out great performances from Nike athletes, blah, blah, blah. But they were both wearing the original Alphafly. And I know, Ben, it's still your
consensus pick. Still my favourite, yeah.
It's probably still my favourite. And I know lots and lots of people who feel the same.
I've never tried an Alphafly still. I need to try it.
Yeah,
you've got to get one. Get one of the original ones.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know your thoughts. But yeah, then the Alphafly 2, they sort of messed it up a bit by making it wider and more accommodating to more runners, which made it less enjoyable for other runners who loved the first version, if that makes sense. So they got a job to do with this third iteration, and it will go one of two ways. It will either be just a slight tweak on the 2 and not really move the needle that much, or it will go back to its like true elite status, I suppose, and be like the number one racing shoe. But the most interesting update, I suppose, on the Alphafly, first time we see it on an Alphafly, is there's no separation in the midsole anymore. And this is, you can see it on the images, it's
just
public
one
information
piece.
Yeah, it's one like midsole unit. It's not separated with like the AirPods in the front and then like the big wedge of ZoomX in the heel. And that it should just make it a bit of a smoother
transition yeah,
I think for most runners.
What are we saying for price, boys? Will they be able to pump it up now there's that £400 Adidas one? Or
yeah, I reckon about 320 I reckon would be my guess.
No way. I think it will stay very, very similar. I've heard $300, which is, what's that in pounds? Well, it doesn't convert directly.
244.
Yeah, it'll be more than that. But it's not going to suddenly go up to like £300. I reckon it will be there or thereabouts with the current Alphafly, because otherwise everyone will just kick up an absolute storm. And the biggest story about the shoe releasing will be the fact that it's now £30, £40, £50 more expensive than the previous version, rather than the fact that, oh, fuck me, this new Alphafly is bloody good, isn't it? So I just don't think, for a brand like Nike, I just don't think they'll do it.
They don't need to.
Not for a consumer facing product like the Alphafly 3 will be, opposed to the Evo 1, which is very much a niche product still, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll be amazed if it was more than a tenner more expensive than previous versions. But yeah, it's exciting, right?
It looks still going to be cool. Bloody expensive. £300.
Oh yeah, it'll be 270, I reckon. 260, 270, somewhere around there.
Current Alphafly is 279.95.
Are you joking?
No,
is it really?
Yeah, 280 basically. They came out at 270, and they've whacked another £10 on the latest colorways.
That is nuts, isn't it?
Yeah,
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh wow, the Kipchoge version is £289
as
well.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I hate it. Do you know what? It's one of my biggest pet peeves with running brands when they do this, when they release the exact same shoe, but it's suddenly £10 more expensive. And everybody's at it.
I love it. I love it, mate. Make them, anyone who cares about looking that good, make them suffer. Pay the extra. If you ain't buying the cheapest colorway on there, mate, you don't need to worry about the cash. It's not like this is people who can't, you know, you're not shopping in a food bank and wearing Alphaflies, are you? You know what I mean?
We need to get Callum a pair of Alphafly 1. He needs to experience it.
Yeah, he does need to experience it. What size are you again, Callum? 8.5?
8, mate. 8.
8.
Yeah. 8.5 in some shoes.
What is that in EU? Yeah. 43?
Something like that.
I'll do some digging.
Yeah.
Anyway,
my phone's died, so I can't see the notes. But
we've got some cracking listeners' questions that I would like to dive into.
Should we try and rattle through these?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of quick fire ones, but we'll start off this one from Sam, who says, who would win in a 1500 meter race? Jakob Ingebrigtsen running the whole thing, or you three doing 500 meters each? What do you reckon?
What do you reckon you can run for 500, boys?
It's hard to really guess what you can run for.
Well, what can you run for 400?
I think 54 flat out.
So you're probably going to run about 70, about 70, I'd say.
I've got no idea for 400. I've never.
I think
I've never really...
I think it'd be extremely close.
Yeah.
I think Jakob would probably have us. I don't know, Callum, you're pretty rapid at the minute, so you could probably get us a good head start.
If we all
you'd
did,
get us
let's...
a couple of seconds in front of him over 500. Then I'd probably maintain it, and then no offense, Tom, but you'd probably get past.
Oh, 100%.
So I think I don't know. What do you reckon?
Don't know. We'd have to work out what we could run for 400. I'm not too sure, honestly, but yeah, Jakob would definitely be up there. That's for sure.
It's a tough one.
If we get to, if Tom's back at full fitness, it'll be a close race.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, don't get me now. Bloody
well,
hell.
If Jakob's listening to this after his
Jakob's solo, if Jakob's soloing it, that's different as well.
As in, he doesn't have a pacer.
Yeah. If he's by himself, that's different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a good question. I enjoyed it, but we don't know. If Jakob wants to give it a go, then just let us know time, place, and we'll be there.
Will Kipton be the first to break 2 hours, says Harry?
Yeah, there's quite a few Kipton questions. I think the answer is 100%. Yeah, he will. Mm. Well, he won't be the first because Kipchoge's already done it, but he means in a legal road race. And I think it is obvious. I don't think Kipton purposely didn't break 2 hours in Chicago, but I think it's good that he didn't, because then when he does do it, it will be an even bigger story. Like he's building himself up.
Yeah,
which is going to be good. Another
Where's he going to do it? When do you reckon we'll see him again?
Berlin.
Hmm. You reckon?
You reckon it'll be like a whole year before we see him again?
If I was him, I'd do the Olympics. Even though the money's going to be shit, but I'd do the Olympics just to get the title, and beat Kipchoge if he's planning on doing it, and then I'd get Berlin to pay me the biggest amount of money in the world as a world record bonus.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I would like to see Kipton in like a slower, more tactical race and just see if he can piss it.
I think the way he closes out these marathons is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I think he'll piss
just go,
it.
See ya.
You can't see a weight. How can you beat him? He's absolutely rapid at closing races.
You see what he did in London?
But he can
in
also
London.
Front run. Yeah.
When he missed his drink bottle and thought, fuck him, I'm going to drop the lot.
Yeah. He ran 13:51 from 30 to 35K in Chicago.
Yeah, and mile 22 was a 4:18 mile.
Yeah.
So he's almost not going quick enough in the first half, basically.
Yeah.
But maybe it's working perfectly, I don't know. An interesting one from Edward. He said, do you think Kiptum would have ran faster in the Evo 1?
No.
No. That's exactly what I thought. Absolutely
no
not.
Idea. No idea.
In the Adidas shoe that we were talking about in the last couple of episodes.
Yeah. I know what the shoe is, but I ain't got a clue. I don't know if he'd run faster in it. I don't know.
And we're never going to know because he's Simon Ikey. So, it's hypothetical again.
I wonder what size Kelvin Kiptum is.
That would be good to know.
He's got to have small feet, surely.
Custom. It'll be custom made for him. He won't have a size.
8.64. Something like that.
I reckon he gets it all measured and he gets like a foot mould done. And then it's all done for him.
But he's got to be like a UK 6.5 or something, surely.
What do you think? Smaller. Even small feet like that?
I reckon he's
quite tall.
Feet. Is he? How tall is Kelvin Kiptum?
I think he's 5'10 at least. He's a bit taller than Kipchoge from...
It's probably not... That information probably doesn't exist on the internet, does it?
Not yet. I wouldn't have thought. No, it doesn't say. No, but he's definitely taller than Kipchoge. I reckon he's about 5'10". Anyway.
Wow, 5'11", apparently. But don't take this source. It says 5'11", and his weight is around 65 kgs. But this is from a website called latestinbollywood.com.
Yeah, there's no way he's 65 kg either. He's a lot lighter than that.
He's got to be.
If Kipchoge's like 52 kg, 5'8".
Where are they pulling these numbers from?
Yeah, I don't know.
Latestinbollywood.com.
Just make it up. Get the clicks.
Yeah. Anyway, what else you got on your list? What other questions?
So that's a bit about Mr. Kipton. Craig says, if you could choose any race in the world to be your last race, which would it be? I think we've had that question before, but it's a good one. What do you reckon?
The Olympic final.
1500 metres?
Yeah, any Olympic final would do me.
I'd do...
Shot put.
Does it have to be a mass race? Or can you dream up a situation?
Any
That you'd
race
be
in
in?
the world was his criteria.
Yeah, Olympic final then.
And it's your final race. Yeah, I think that's a good
5K,
one.
5K Olympic final.
Fair enough. Tom?
Yeah, that would do, wouldn't it?
I'd go for a world major myself, I think.
Yeah, I reckon I would as well.
Probably
I don't know
London.
which one though.
It's got to be London.
Maybe Tokyo. Tokyo would be fun, wouldn't
Oh
it?
yeah.
Tokyo
I
looks
do
cool.
really want to do that one day.
Well, your last race on the planet is going to be Tokyo Marathon.
Yeah.
You're allowed to dream yourself into any situation, and you put yourself in Tokyo Marathon.
Well, it's a pretty big one. It's in a
All
place where
right,
you
might
wouldn't normally
find
visit.
it. All
I
right.
can see where you come from.
All right.
But I mean, Olympic final is hard to beat. I must admit.
Next question.
Next question is from Carter. How closely should I follow my running watch suggestions on my training?
Paces, not at all. Heart rate, yes, if you're using a heart rate monitor to an extent. And training load, if you have access to that, yes, would follow that in line with your sleep score, etc.
Yeah.
I'd do that. So what I'm saying there is use it as a guide and help shape your training, but don't be a slave to it, and especially ignore the predictions for your race paces and whatnot, because I can tell you now I'm not in 2:13 marathon shape. However, my watch is telling me I could do it in 2:13. So yeah, be careful with it.
Yeah, totally agree. Use it more as a guide. Don't listen to the like, oh, today you should do 8x1K at 3:50. I think that's just far too specific, and it doesn't know you that well. Like, you're going to be much better off getting advice from a coach, and somebody setting your sessions rather than your watch just randomly
Yeah, that's
guessing
like
for
runner app. It's like runner app as well. Don't use that as well while we're at
you.
it. That's basically the same. Some robot just telling you, oh, one of our coaches has inputted all these sessions. Now our algorithm's going to spit this out to you, but we're
Yeah.
going to tell you you're being coached by an Olympian. But simultaneously, we're going to tell you that we've got over 2,000 five-star reviews. So either you've got an Olympian coaching 2,000 people, which seems unlikely, or it's not the bespoke coaching you were promised. So yeah, be careful with runner app with apps such as Runner, not just a personal attack on them. Yeah, reach out to coaches for advice. And if you don't want to pay for a coach, then reach out to free platforms such as this podcast, such as YouTube channels, those things. Ask plenty of questions from people. Drop a professional athlete a message. I'm sure they'll get back to you. There's plenty of free ways you can do it without being tricked by these dirty marketing people.
Very good. Edinburgh Runner says, last man standing in a three-way brawl. So me, you, and Tom having a fight. Who wins?
I reckon probably Tom, I feel like he's got some sort of weird thing about him where he just like
That
lose the
vegan
plot.
strength.
Are we allowed
Yeah.
weapons, or is this just...
I reckon it's a brawl, but you're just bringing out a sword out of nowhere, I reckon. I'm just
Surely
slicing this up.
a gun would beat a sword, though.
Well, yeah. Have you got access to one of those? I certainly
Well,
don't.
if I
I
was
think we've
turning
got
up
a.
to a fight where I was guaranteed to either die or have to kill you, I'd probably find a way to source a gun, yeah.
Yeah, all right. I'm staying
No, I
away
think
from
this
you.
has got to be hand-to-hand combat. This
Combat.
we can't be bringing weapons in to the mix.
I do have a bit of a rage spot, I must admit, from when I used to play football. I've been in a
Ben
few little scraps that I
won't
do
be able
see
to
red.
see. As soon as his glasses go off, Ben won't be able to see.
Yeah, that makes me more aggressive though. You got to be careful.
Makes him more aggressive. He just doesn't know. If you stand
Because
really
I can't see
still,
the size of
he
you, mate. I'm just thinking I've got you because I can't see him. So there, you just got to be careful.
Yeah, it'd be good though. I think, yeah, they
Maybe
should
we'll
give it that up.
speak to Logan Paul and KSI and get a charity one boxing match set up.
Yeah, we should do that. That'd be good.
I'm 1-0 with Mr. Frank Basiljet. I had a boxing match at uni,
Did you?
and took down Frank. So Frank, if you're listening, you fancy another go? Maybe you can join three-way brawl as well. Anyway, another good one that's put in two of the co-hosts against each other. What distance would Ben and Callum be most competitive, and how do you think it would go? What do you reckon, Tom?
50
Oh,
miles. 50 miles. Well, Callum, you've been mentioning that when you've done the sixth stage, the relay this weekend, you said you were a bit worried because it's the longest distance you'd done since February, you'd raced since February. How would you fare in a half marathon against Ben? If Ben's in like on a dream course, right, dead flat, Ben's in, oh, do you reckon you could break 67 at the minute, Ben?
I'd like to think so. 66 high would be my very
Yeah.
top performance.
Let me, I need to go on pace calculator here to work out what the miles is because I'm not going to be able to
it's
tell you.
Basically 5 minute a mile.
Yeah, I could do that for a half, yeah, right now.
Then it makes it a bit boring.
Oh, yeah. 5 minute miling.
Marathon.
5 minute miling is 65:33. I think I could break 65.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's got to be, it's got to go all the way up to the marathon, then, hasn't it?
Well, there's no other distance in between, is there, really? 20 miler, if that was a thing. That'd be
25K.
Probably quite close.
That was a 25K. I'm sure there's a 25K road race in America or something, isn't there?
Yeah, Parker Stinson, mate, is the,
yeah. the American
he's
record
the holder.
He's the record holder for 25K.
Yeah, maybe we do that one then.
Nah, if it's a time trial, I think I'd be fine up to a marathon. Worst case, I just have to sit and kick on Ben now.
Yeah, you can't sit and kick on a marathon.
Like,
you might not be able to keep up.
You don't have to run your fastest possible effort, do you? You just have to sit and kick.
Yeah,
just finding a way to win.
Yeah.
But we're talking right now, like at the
tomorrow,
weekend,
yeah.
If you're doing a marathon.
So we're going out this weekend and doing a marathon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think I could beat Ben.
Absolutely not. I'd have you every day of the week.
I'd back Ben there.
Ben, if you're not on the podcast and your life's dependent on it, are you still saying that you could beat me every marathon?
Yeah.
All right.
I think it would be a lot closer than you think over the half because you haven't trained for it.
I agree over the half. I think it would be
I reckon you've got a 66 in you. And I reckon if I'm chasing you, I can keep up.
Okay, so your tactic is for you to sit and kick on me?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not sit and kick. I'm just going to maintain 66 pace to the end and you're going to get to...
Well, that's not going to be any good when I've just said I can run sub 65, is it?
Yeah, but I don't think you can.
Okay. what do you think I could run?
66 low. And I can run 66 high. That's what I think.
Okay.
I still think you'd have
the day.
Okay.
No, but what we're saying
that,
there
that would
is
be the most competitive.
I've run sub 30 10K at cross country. Don't doubt my prowess over distance. That's all I'll say. Just because I've been in 1500 and miles.
Yeah, but again, that isn't that different.
What 10K cross country is not different to what?
As in, like, there's only a minute of difference between being competitive. That's the question. What's most competitive?
A minute. Sorry, I'm confused. A minute between what?
A bit between a 30-minute 10K and my PB.
Yeah, so you did your PB on the road. You ran 30:50.
Yeah.
At Vitality 10K on a course where Jacare ran 28:13.
Yeah.
So conditions must have been pretty decent for him to solo a 28:13 on a road race that you'd done a 6-7 week training block building up specifically for.
Yeah.
I did a 10K cross country race in Cardiff and I ran a minute faster pace on grass up and down a hill.
Yeah, then 10K, then you'd beat me. Yeah, but I'm not arguing that. But I think the half marathon.
But what I'm saying is that the factor that is saying why I wouldn't beat you in this, you're saying I don't think you've got the strength to be able to hold this pace.
Yeah,
saying,
that's what I'm.
I'm saying you might be right. Well, we're never going to know unless we have the race. But what I'm saying is, boys, I just wouldn't underestimate my strength. It's easy to say in October when all the podcasts have been about my 1500 meters. You know, don't forget I've. Without doing any real specific training, have still run faster 10Ks than people on this pod by a minute, you know?
Yeah, definitely. But that's why I'm saying half marathon is the most competitive, would be the most competitive distance. I think.
Marathon would be.
You think the marathon?
No, because the marathon would be boring.
Yeah, the marathon would, of course, the longer the distance gets, the more chance you'd have to beat me, no?
Yeah,
so
but I don't think it would be as competitive. I think
the
time difference would be closer.
Marathon.
I think the time difference would be closer if we raced a half. As in, it would be probably like a minute between us. Whereas if we raced a marathon, I think there'd probably be more like 2 or 3 minutes of variation.
Right, got you.
That's
what I'm thinking. We should just have a race. In a few years, when I'm doing some half marathons, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, Tom, you as well. Let's all get in.
Have you ever done a half marathon?
That's not the question.
Yeah, I've done half marathons.
What's your time?
Ages ago. Like 71 minutes or something. Probably run faster than that in training.
Fair enough.
But my 10K PB is also from training, to be fair, so I can't really talk.
I'm training. 10K PB and training?
Yeah, I've run faster at a 10K fartlek. I've done sub 30 in training.
Wow, that's impressive.
But I just haven't raced anything. I've not raced a 5K since April 2022, I think. What year is it? 2023? I've not done anything. I need to do some more races.
Right.
Callum, I reckon you should rock up to Trafford 10K.
Yeah,
Telford. If I don't qualify for Eurocross, my plan is to do Telford 10K, 11th of December.
There you go. We'll race each other.
That'll be good, won't it?
Yeah. You'll have me by far.
I don't know. Who knows? Could be really close.
I might be in 29 high shape by then, but we'll see.
fingers crossed.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Project 3030 again, or is it? Are you lowering it?
No, we're not. There's no project. It's just I'm going to Kenya for 6 weeks.
Yeah. You're gonna get juiced up.
Yeah.
Or you and Kush just gonna be just smashing out the reps.
Smashing out mangoes. Yeah.
So that's
the
good,
plan.
Man. Exciting stuff. Well, on that bombshell, Tom, you want to weigh in at all? You got any distances that you want to race at?
What? Just generally?
Yeah, just generally, mate.
Just generally.
You want to call anyone out for a race?
No, not really.
What about this Chris bloke you're doing your long run with? Do you reckon you'd have him over a marathon?
I don't reckon. We could probably race like a K and it would be competitive at the moment, but anything other than that would be quite embarrassing, I think. But no, we're gonna train together more now, I think.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Especially on Sundays. Long run on a Sunday, we'll do together most weeks and try and get fit at the same time. And then who knows, maybe we'll race soon.
Maybe. There's one, two, three, four more questions. Is there anyone that you want to pick to end it on? Or should we just go to some listener shout-outs?
Can we just do the listener shout-outs, boys? Because I've got to prepare for this call that I've got coming up, unfortunately.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I wanted to give a first shout-out this week. It goes to the under-17 Chelmsford team who won gold at the Nationals. So Greg Martin, Joseph Grange and Sam Plummer. All boys I've seen working hard throughout the summer, and it was great to see him get on the podium at the Nationals. I think it's pretty rare for a Chelmsford team. I don't think they've ever done that before. So yeah, credit to the under-17s.
Good stuff.
Shout out. And yeah, I just wanted to shout out all the people that came up, said they liked the pod. Boys, I don't think I told you about that, but at the relays, so many people were saying that they listened. Shout out to various different things, including one guy, Matt. Shout out to Matt, who brought me. Do you remember we talked about dark chocolate bounties going out of stock? He came up to me and he gave me a bounty and he said he'd looked everywhere for the dark chocolate one, but he couldn't find it. So he just got me a milk chocolate one.
Oh,
I enjoyed that.
What a legend.
I enjoyed that last night and sent him a picture. So shout out to Matt for the chocolate bar.
That is special. That is really very lovely.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, people, and for the support. The chocolate bars aren't a necessity, like when you know you don't need to, but it's always appreciated if you want to give us any kind of chocolate, money, anything really. Super shoes.
I got a bag of coffee the other day, that was very kind.
Coffee, there you go. Yeah,
I really like candy kittens, you know, the sweets.
Oh, that is so Tory. That that is super.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my god, yeah. Ben, I'm sure you've spent your money on some stupid stuff knowing you in your life, but this is seriously stupid. This is one of those people who's got such an impulse purchase.
Oh, yeah, that does look like a Tory purchase.
When you're queuing up to pay in the self-checkout, they're always there, and they literally may as well have a sign on that says, "You are so hungry right now that you're going to purchase me unnecessarily for £4.50, even though you don't need to buy them."
£4.50?
£2.75 on Ocado. There you go.
Yeah, but that's Ocado.
Isn't the founder the guy from Made in Chelsea? Isn't it Jamie Lang's brand?
Yeah, Jamie Lang's.
Yeah, I told you it was super Tory.
Well, what about Starburst then? I like them too.
Individual rappers, loser.
No, because it makes it last longer, doesn't it? When you've got to unwrap each sweet.
£2.50.
Sorry, I'm just outraged by the price of Starburst.
Ben, did you just say you used to eat them with the wrapper on?
Yeah, I used to get bored of fucking unwrapping each one, so I just used to eat them with the wrappers on.
I've got another thing for the listeners. I can't believe I forgot to bring this up. I don't want to open a can of worms here, but Ben, do you still put an electrolyte tablet in your protein shake?
No, I did that fucking once. Never did it again.
Yeah, you did it, and you posted it in a promotional reel for Pure Sport on Instagram. I got sent that the other day saying, "What is this?" Ben put a berry-flavoured electrolyte tablet in his chocolate protein. He said, yeah, I just like to put my electrolyte tablet in my protein. You know, that's just me.
A fizzy. Was it not fizzy?
Yeah, it was fizzy. It was disgusting. I don't even drink protein shakes. I don't know where that came from, but anyway.
Well, mate, it was a bloody bit of paid thing, so don't expose yourself too much.
Yeah. I'm surprised you dug that one out. That was probably about a year ago.
I didn't dig it out. I got sent it, mate. My sources on the inside. Yeah. I always dish it out the dirt.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Right. Mm. Anyway, chaps, I've got to get ready for my other call, so I'm going to bid you all farewell.
Yeah, nice speaking to you, boys.
All right.
Just a reminder, if anyone does want to submit some questions, probably best to send us a message on Instagram, or you can email us at runitfreewayspodcast@gmail.com. Anything else to add, boys?
No more business
opportunities, sponsors, anything like that. You can also get in touch via the contact details Ben just mentioned.
By the email.
Yeah, and good luck to Ben this weekend racing at the Oxford Half Marathon. Oh, if you're there, support him. Go along, say hello.
Chuck some Starburst at me.
If anyone's racing the Cambridge Town and Gown 10K, I'll be there supporting my girlfriend. So feel free to just wave. You don't have to come up to me. Just wave and give me a nod. I'll know what you're referencing. Yeah, sounds good.
I was going to be there, actually. I got an Essex call up this week. Fancy a 10K. Oh,
nice, mate. Essex versus Suffolk versus Cambridgeshire. What a clash of the Titans that is.
But Oxford Half for me. Be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Right. Enjoy, gorgeous. Mate. All the best. Tom, have a great weekend as usual, mate.
Thank you very much.
And all of our listeners, stay safe, stay humble, stay hungry. See you later, guys.
Bye-bye.